I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
Hey everyone, I'm Sam and this is Key to the Case. Welcome back. Sean is unable to join me for this special update episode, so I will be flying solo today, as you may have noticed from the intro. There is a major update in the case, the murder of Lisa McBride. I'm going to walk through all of the relevant information that's available as of right now. There will be a trial in this case where, of course, a lot of information will come out. So for now, we are working with what's out there. As you all know, because I brought it up before, it can be hard working on unsolved cases where, I don't know, case after case we cover, they're just not getting solved. And finally, here recently, we've seen some breakthroughs in cases we've featured. It's just a nice reminder that you shouldn't lose hope. We only covered Lisa McBride's murder a few months ago, so definitely go back and listen to that episode if you need a refresher or haven't listened yet, because I won't be walking through the whole case. But at a high level, Lisa McBride was a 27-year-old woman who was murdered in New Jersey after a night out with friends in June 1990. It's believed that she was attacked inside her home and then transferred to another location where she was disposed of and found a few months later. There were no clear suspects in Lisa's case. Lisa's body was exhumed in 2022, which offered a glimmer of hope, but it was also unclear until very recently if anything was gathered during that process. Last month, April 2026, the Sussex County prosecutor, Daniel Perez, announced that an arrest was made in relation to Lisa's case. We'll get to who was arrested, but first, I think it's important to understand how they got to that point, because Lisa's case seemed very cold. Investigators submitted an item recovered from Lisa's bedroom for DNA testing in 2020. The analysis revealed a mixture of DNA profiles, including that of an unidentified male. The male profile was initially not suitable for entry into the National CODIS database, but advances in DNA technology allowed them to separate Lisa's DNA from that of the unknown male contributor, ultimately producing a more complete profile just this year. It's a little unclear how many items had this male DNA recovered from it, but I've seen both a headboard and washcloth mentioned. So it sounds like at least two items they were able to get the DNA from those two items. And something to remind you all of from the case is that Lisa's bedding was missing. So to learn that there was DNA left on her headboard made sense, because it seemed that something occurred in that bedroom. So once the investigators got past the initial issues with the DNA profiles and you know, had a more complete profile for the male DNA, they submitted it to CODIS and got a match. The profile matched that of a man who had been released from prison in 2023, 54-year-old Robert McCaffrey. My initial thought was, wow, this suspect is younger than I was expecting for this case. Robert was just 18 or 19 when Lisa was murdered. Remember, Lisa was 27. To allegedly commit a crime like this at a young age like that, I have to imagine the authorities are trying to piece other crimes together that he may have committed. One potential crime we'll get into, because as I said, he was in prison and that's why his DNA was on file. Robert lived in Sussex County, the same county Lisa lived in 1990. One source referred to him as a neighbor of Lisa's, but he reportedly lived 13 miles or about 21 kilometers from her, so I don't believe they were, in fact, neighbors. We don't exactly know how Robert knew Lisa yet. Lisa worked as a bank teller, so the investigators have theorized that might be how he came upon her. But to be clear, they didn't have a known relationship. Lisa's family and friends didn't know who Robert was. And with their age difference, 18 or 19, and you know she's 27, I doubt they would have been in similar social circles. One of the most shocking details about this arrest is that Robert allegedly confessed to killing Lisa 5 years after her murder in 1995. One of Robert's coworkers indicated that Robert told him at a job site that he killed Lisa years, you know, this was years before, of course, because she wouldn't go out with him. Which, if true, like if he asked her out, maybe at the bank, and Lisa just brushed it off and didn't tell anyone, it's like, of course she wouldn't go out with him or be interested. He was barely out of high school. What an upsetting situation we have here. There's no good motive for murder, but this one, if true, is extremely trivial. The witness also claimed that Robert said he tried to return to Lisa's home to collect evidence that might connect him to her murder. To my knowledge, the witness did not come forward until 2019. I don't know what prompted this individual to decide to share this information, but it was something the police made note of in 2019, but couldn't act on. So when they got this DNA match to Robert, they went back through their case files and put two and two together. And I don't know, truthfully, if Robert was on their radar before this guy came forward with the confession. It feels like no. It feels like that was their first time considering Robert in this case, but I'm sure we'll find out if that was the case or not. A year before Lisa's murder in 1990, Robert was deemed unfit for service in the Navy due to impulse control issues following two psychiatric evaluations. He was also diagnosed with borderline personality disorder at the time and was discharged from the Navy in September 1989. After Lisa's murder, Robert stayed in New Jersey for 6 years. In 1996, he moved to South Carolina. He married a woman named Marjorie, who went by Gail, in South Carolina, and the pair had two kids. Robert's wife, Gail, disappeared in 2012 and has never been found. Robert claimed that he and Gail got into a fight one evening in March 2012 at their South Carolina home while their children slept. The argument really intensified, and Robert went on a walk to cool down and give Gail some space. But according to him, Gail was still angry when he returned, so he left the home and stayed somewhere else for the night. The next day, he went home again, only to find that Gail was gone, believing that she left of her own accord because there was a note saying that she left him to be with another man in Costa Rica. Even though the kids, who were 4 and 10 at the time, were apparently still there and she hadn't arranged care for them. Oh, and her car, wallet, and phone were all left behind. Gail's family did not believe this story, and it was later determined that Gail had not produced the note. Due to inconsistencies in his story and conflicting statements, law enforcement arrested Robert in 2014, 2 years after Gail disappeared, and charged him with obstruction of justice. It took a while, meaning years, for that trial to get underway, but the jury ultimately found Robert guilty of obstruction of justice and his wife's disappearance, and he was sentenced to 10 years in prison. but he was released early under supervision in 2023. Before that trial started, he was actually arrested for murder in Gail's disappearance, but a grand jury in Charleston County declined to indict him due to a lack of evidence. Not long after Gail disappeared in 2012, Robert moved to North Carolina, and there has been an extensive search of his property in relation to Lisa's case. There are some items that were missing that they never found. So I think those are some of Lisa's items that they were looking for. He's facing charges of first-degree murder, first-degree kidnapping, and second-degree burglary in Lisa's case, all of which he has pleaded not guilty to. Gail's family has spoken out. They are pleased to see that Lisa's family is on the path of receiving justice, but were shocked that Robert may have killed someone before he came into their lives. And they continue to hope that Gail will be found one day and they will have answers for themselves. Lisa's brother is her closest surviving family member. He has spoken out that the family had to wait decades for movement in her case. And although he and Lisa's parents, George and Norma, have passed away, they never gave up hope that this day would come. I remember George and Norma clearly from my research. In the cases we cover, how outspoken family members are varies greatly, but Lisa's parents were very vocal about not giving up the fight for justice. So I imagine there are a lot of emotions that come with their absence during this. Once again, DNA breaks a case. Robert was not someone in Lisa's life, so this case was always going to be harder to solve. Because of that, and even with that witness who came forward about Robert's alleged confession to him many years before, he likely wouldn't have been arrested without the supporting DNA evidence. It'll be interesting to see what else comes out in the trial and how Robert's defense team will approach the defense. His attorney already made a comment that there's no indication of how or when Robert's DNA got in Lisa's home on those items, which, sure, you can make that statement. But as stated multiple times, Lisa and Robert had no known relationship. So there was seemingly no reason for Robert's DNA to be left in the home. Something else I'm curious about is who else might have information in this case, because I was thinking if Robert was willing to tell a coworker about this, to confess allegedly to murder to a coworker, maybe they were really, really close, but also it's a coworker. So I'm thinking about other people in his life who he likely would have had a closer relationship with. I just wonder if there are a lot of other people who had an idea or an inkling that Robert could have been involved in this and didn't come forward with that information, but it's also possible that he just confided in this one person, apparently, and no one else. I'll be keeping an eye on this case, especially once the trial begins. There are a lot of remaining questions, so I hope those are answered during the trial. Thank you all so much for joining me for this special update episode. That is all for now, but we will be back soon with a new case. Bye.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.